Hello, everybody. I'm George Byland. This is about Marianism, that is to say, devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that's an aspect of Christianity, particularly Catholic Christianity. Now, I'm not a believer. I'm just talking about it because I find it something sentimental, something morally uplifting, and it's produced some magnificent artwork, not just in the plastic arts, but in the gay sciences, Ave Maria, by Schubert. All right, so and the lyrics taken from the Gospel according to Saint Luke. Now, Mary, name meaning morning star in Hebrew. That's why in the Passion of the Christ, Maya Morgenstern got the part. Partly because who's that Australian American filmmaker actor realized, Mel Gibson, that her name, surname, means Morningstar, Mel Morgenstern in German. All right, even though she's a Romanian actress. So talking about Marian devotions, so these are practices to venerate the Blessed Virgin, meant to be the Mother of God, you know, Theotokos Bogoroditsa, because Christians believed that she was of the stock of King David and in accordance with the prophecies gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem and all the rest of it, and that she was a virgin at the time. Apparently, it's a misreading of the Greek text, which says young woman, and then that was mistranslated into Latin as virgin. There's nothing particularly remarkable about a young woman giving birth to a child. So Christian theology, believing that Jesus is fully God and fully human, his DNA therefore must have come exclusively from his mother, as he didn't have a physical father, and that'd be entirely Jewish DNA. All right, so just the idyllic mother, and there are these very touching, very affecting images of mother and child, occasionally even breastfeeding her being so mild, so maternal, so caring, so serene, sublime, just radiating goodness, joy, and tranquility. So you think of her, presumably a teenage mother, and then versions of it have this uncertain paternity. You know, Joseph, her husband, knew that he had not impregnated her. Was she somehow pregnant before a marriage? Because, of course, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. When the archangel Gabriel announces to her that she will conceive this child through the Holy Spirit without the intervention of any man, maybe at that moment she becomes pregnant. And that's marked the 25th of March. So that's the Sunday close, that is Mothering Sunday, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So she conceives him without stain. That's what Immaculate is. But there's a name, Immaculata. Okay, because all intercourse better be somehow sinful, I suppose. She herself was without sin, because otherwise she passed on original sin to her son. That was made up by the church fathers centuries later, and so on. And the 15th of August is a day for particular dedication to Our Lady. So that day, I'm not sure why that one was picked, was the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin. She didn't die. She was assumed into heaven. Is this physically, is this space flight? They're unclear about that. Dormition, or falling asleep, as they often call it in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. So doesn't physically die. Okay, so there we are. So she's got all sorts of titles, you know, most pure, most mild, you know, mother of good counsel, what is there, mother most benign, full of grace, and so forth, comforter of the afflicted. So these are all delightful titles, queen of heaven, and so forth. So the young, poverty-stricken, hopeless refugee woman, probably in her mid-teens, and that is the reality of it. And despite that, bravely doing everything she could to bear her child, to nurture her child, just the idyllic mother, the perfect woman, but someone who may be exquisite, but is without sexuality. But there's a suggestion that she had children later on, because it mentions James, the brother of Jesus. Does this mean his half-brother? Does it mean through his father or through his mother? Subsequently, she had a child naturally with Joseph? We don't know. The good book doesn't expand on that. So I regard her as a mythological figure. Might be based on some sort of historical figure. And no, I don't believe in parthenogenesis. And no, I don't believe in Jesus Christ was the Son of God or the rest of it. So I'm talking about her as a metaphor. And so I regard her as a fictive character and so forth. But yeah, very touching, very moving. and people praying the rosary, reflecting on the joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, and I can't remember what the other, the third category of mysteries was. I think it's the glorious mysteries were invented by Pope John Paul II. So going on various pilgrimages, all the seven joys of Mary and so forth. And then she's appeared in various places. Our Lady of Guadalupe in the Caribbean, Our Lady of Lourdes, where she appeared to Saint Bernadette Soubry, this 14-year-old who then became a nun in the grotto, Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. And I remember when I was very little, them singing about Fatima in church, didn't understand this, I thought, quite fat, is this funny? Referring to when in 1917, she appeared supposedly to three shepherd children, a sister and a brother and another girl who was their cousin. And they were poverty stricken. The youngest was 7, the older was 12. 7-year-old still already working full time. Do I vote reform? No, I'm against them. Okay. And but they obviously were making it up. Were they insane? Were they delusional? This image was just seared into them. Whatever they saw in church, there were wayside images of her. They desperately wanted to see her. Were they cold? Were they frightened? Were they praying to her in the mountains? Not that she's a goddess, but then she would intercede for you on behalf of Jesus Christ. So they desperately wanted to see her. Were they rather imaginative or excitable? Some people make things up. And then people can see things which don't exist. I've seen things which are not there. I'll tell you once, I was on a street. I looked that way and I saw this hot dog stall and then it vanished. Because the day before I'd been on that same street roughly the same time of day and there had been a hot dog stall over there. So I looked back in that direction for a split second, I saw it and then it went because I was remembering the hot dog stall when it was earlier on, you know, or things like on Skype when I saw a traffic light because the red and the green light are flashing and my mind tries to make sense of that for a split second. It turns it into a traffic light before I perceive it, what it really is. And so then they said that they didn't back down. Although the image they described is not the one you would have said in her late teens. Okay, so which is probably realistic. She would have been an adolescent probably when she was first married. And that her dress only went down to just below her knees, which is seen as indecent. She's always shown dressed from the ankle to, from the collarbone to the ankle and long sleeves, showing minimal amount of skin and so forth. And then the mother of one of them disbelieved it and going back and various secrets she revealed to them. They didn't reveal them for ages. One that the First World War would end the 13th of October that year. It didn't. The reason to disbelieve it, supposing how the sun danced around the sky and thousands of people saw it and it's thought seemed to be worthy of belief. So a place of pilgrimage for Catholics and possibly for other Christians. So all these apparitions. I remember in Ballinspittle, County Cork in the 1980s, a statue of Our Lady supposedly moving. Now, the trouble is about the devotion to her is then it seems to sort of satanize female sexuality. That's a bad thing. If she's the female ideal, then women should not copulate. Well, how are people to be born as or not to enjoy this side of life, which is ridiculous. But anyway, I do find it something satisfying, something uplifting to think of her as the perfect woman, someone to be devoted to, an ideal to strive for. So this sort of self-sacrificial maternal love. As I say, there are problems with her in that it tries to hold women to this impossible standard. But that's what Marianism is, and is more derogatorily known as Mariolatry. So I remember the Catholic chaplain at school, Father Knott, the late Father Knott, a Jesuit, saying Catholics do not worship her, they venerate her. They pray to her, and that she then ask her son, Jesus Christ, and of course he won't refuse a request from his mother. And all the rest of it. I mean, I know that it's not true. I know it is a lie, but nevertheless, there's a poetic truth in it, as you'd get out of studying the mythology of ancient Greece or ancient Rome and so forth. Anyway, so it's produced this magnificent artistic tradition, and I really appreciate some of those statues, some of those oil paintings and so forth, some of the devotional music. And so it's the worldliness of Catholicism is so attractive, all the things which are man-made, not the spirituality that appeals to me. All right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then on PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.